Friends by mail. You're invited. What? A special meeting, just for girls and women. Who? All girls, 8 and over. When? Saturday, September 28th, 6 p.m., Mountain Daylight Time. Don't miss this special chance to hear our church leaders speak just to you. Please write and tell us about your experience at this special meeting.
Lots to be grateful for. For family home evening, we put up a gratitude tree. We had a blast putting up a new leaf each day in November. We put up things ranging from Jesus and Heavenly Father to corn and animals to toys and tractors. Our list was amazing. Brendan, Caleb, and Benson W., ages 6, 4, and 2. Idaho, USA.
How I read the friend. I am reading the friend with my pet skunk, Stink. Janelle S., age 10, Oregon, USA.
Dear friends, General Conference is just a month away. To help you get ready, we've made a set of memory cards to help you recognize the members of the First Presidency and Quorum of the 12 Apostles. And on page 22, you'll find the story of a girl who prayed about an important question and found her answer in General Conference. Start now to get ready for conference. The Friend. Was there a letter or a story in this month's issue that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 48 to find out how. End of Friends by Mail.
From the First Presidency, Heavenly Father loves you, by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. Think of the purest love you can imagine. Now multiply that love by an infinite amount. Infinite meaning without limits. That is the measure of God's love for you. God does not look on the outward appearance. I believe that He doesn't care one bit if we live in a castle or a cottage, if we are handsome or homely, if we are famous or forgotten. Though we are incomplete, God loves us completely. Though we are imperfect, He loves us perfectly. Though we may feel lost, God's love encompasses us completely. Encompasses means surrounds. He loves us because He is filled with an infinite amount of holy, pure, and indescribable love. We are important to God because we are His children. He loves every one of us, even those who are flawed or awkward. God's love is so great that He loves even the proud, the selfish, the arrogant, and the wicked. What this means is that no matter our mistakes, our infinitely compassionate Heavenly Father desires that we draw near to Him so that He can draw near to us. Compassionate means loving. I testify that God is in heaven. He lives. He knows and loves you. He is mindful of you. He hears your prayers and knows the desires of your heart. He is filled with infinite love for you. Adapted from The Love of God, Ensign, November 2002, pages 21 through 24. All children of God. We may look different, speak different languages, and have different personalities, but we are all children of God. End of the article. From the First Presidency, Heavenly Father Loves You, by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. Read by David Shaw.
Grandma's Favorite Flower, by Karen Nicolaisen Baxter. I like to pick the flowers in Grandma's flower bed. The colors are so pretty, blue, purple, pink, and red. She kisses me and tells me as she pats me on the face, "You're the sweetest flower that I've seen any place." End of Grandma's Favorite Flower, by Karen Nicolaisen Baxter. Read by Kristen Hawkins. Michelle's Birthday Wish, by David Dixon, Church Magazines. Based on a true story. Michelle was excited for her first temple trip, but what would her interview be like? I love to see the temple. I'm going there someday. Children's Songbook, 95. Michelle sat outside the bishop's office, trying to ignore the butterflies in her stomach. Would this interview be like a test? What if she got the answers wrong? Could she still get a temple recommend in time for her first trip to do baptisms for the dead? "Is everything all right, honey?" Mom asked. Michelle tried to smile. "Yes, I'm just nervous. What if I don't know all the answers? What if I forget one of the articles of faith or something?" Dad reached over and patted her hand. "It isn't a quiz, sweetie. Just be yourself and answer honestly. You have nothing to worry about." But she did worry. Today was her 12th birthday, and she wanted to do baptisms for the dead the very next day. She'd been planning it for months. She was even going to wait to have her birthday party until her family got home from the temple. If she messed up in the interview and missed doing baptisms, she'd be so disappointed. She kept running through the articles of faith in her mind, just in case. Soon, the door opened. The bishop leaned out of his office and smiled. "Hello, Michelle. Come on in." Michelle gulped and walked inside his office. The bishop started by asking Michelle about her birthday plans. That wasn't so scary to talk about. Then they talked about her primary class for a little while. "Are you excited to go into young women?" he asked. "Oh, yes," Michelle answered. They talked for several minutes about why she was looking forward to becoming a beehive. Then the bishop asked Michelle about her testimony and if she kept the commandments. Those questions were easy to answer. She knew the church was true. She tried to live the gospel. Michelle started feeling less worried. And then, before she knew it, the interview was over. The bishop filled out the recommend and handed it to Michelle. She blinked at the little paper she held in her hand. She had her very own temple recommend. The bishop smiled. "Have a happy birthday and a wonderful time at the temple." Michelle could hardly wait. For the rest of the day, Michelle couldn't think about anything but the temple. All her life, she'd been learning about the temple, and tomorrow she was going inside for real. Finally, the big day arrived. Later that night, there'd be a party with presents and cake. Grandma and Grandpa would be there too. But none of that was on her mind as she put on her best church clothes. She was going to the temple. Her birthday wish was coming true. "All ready, Michelle?" Mom asked. Michelle nodded. Boy, was she ready. And yet, as soon as Dad pulled the car out of the driveway, Michelle started feeling jittery all over again. Would she be able to stay quiet inside the temple? She knew the temple was a sacred place, and she wanted to be reverent. But sometimes she got so excited about things that she forgot to whisper. Would this be one of those times? But as soon as they stepped inside the temple, Michelle's nervousness completely disappeared. She felt more peaceful and calm than she ever had before. She could feel this was a special place. Michelle was inside the temple with Mom and Dad. This really was the best way to celebrate her birthday. Sidebar. The temple provides purpose for our lives. It brings peace to our souls. President Thomas S. Monson. Blessings of the Temple. Ensign, October 2010, page 15. End of the story. Michelle's Birthday Wish by David Dixon. Read by Kristen Hawkins.
Family Fun Time. Read Michelle's Birthday Wish, page 4. We need to be righteous to come into Heavenly Father's house. This is why the bishop interviews us before we can have a temple recommend. If you are keeping the commandments and repenting when you do something wrong, you are already preparing to enter the temple. Use the activity below to talk about how you can be ready for your own temple recommend interview when you are older. Putting it all together. Print an 8 by 11 inch picture of a temple. You can download a photo at lds.org/temples. Cut the picture into a puzzle and write a question on each piece. Take turns drawing the pieces out of a bag. For each puzzle piece you fit together, talk about the question on the back. Here are some questions to write on your puzzle. What can we do to show our faith in Jesus Christ? Why was the restoration of the gospel important? What does it mean to sustain President Thomas S. Monson as the prophet, seer, and revelator of the church? How can we have courage to be honest all the time? Why is it important to pay our tithing? Talk about ways we might be tempted to break the word of wisdom. Why does Heavenly Father ask us to obey this commandment? How can we live so that we can feel the promptings of the Holy Ghost? Apple cake. Be sure to get an adult's help with this recipe. 1 1/2 cups flour. 2 teaspoons baking powder. 1/4 teaspoon salt. 1/4 teaspoon cinnamon. 5 tablespoons butter. 3/4 cup sugar. 1 teaspoon vanilla. 1 large egg. 1/2 cup milk. 1 cup finely chopped peeled apple, about 1 medium apple. 1. Preheat oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit. 2. Mix the flour, baking powder, salt, and cinnamon in a bowl. 3. Beat the butter and sugar together in a separate bowl with an electric mixer. Beat in the vanilla and egg. 4. Beat in the flour mixture and the milk. Carefully stir in the apples. 5. Pour into a round 9-inch greased and floured cake pan. Bake for 30 minutes or until a toothpick comes out clean when you stick it in the middle. Let cake cool for 10 minutes before taking it out of the pan. End of the section, Family Fun Time, read by Charlene Stewart.
Bright Idea Poster. In this month's Bright Idea poster, we see a girl standing in a meadow at sunset holding a beautiful flower. God, our eternal Father, lives and loves us. May we realize how close to us He is willing to come, how far He is willing to go to help us, and how much He loves us. President Thomas S. Monson. End of this month's Bright Idea poster, read by Maya Reinmond.
Superhero Service by Tiffany Gee Lewis, based on a true story. Preston versus the Weeds. Who will win? When we're helping, we're happy. Children's Songbook, page 198. Tonight for our family home evening activity, we're going to weed Sister Lee's garden, Dad announced at dinner. Preston liked going to Sister Lee's house. She had chickens and roosters and yummy berries growing in her garden. After dinner, Preston helped his family load shovels and rakes in the back of the van. On the drive to Sister Lee's house, Mom asked, "Why is service so important?" Preston thought for a moment. He wasn't quite sure. "It makes you feel good," Preston's older brother said. "That's true," Mom said. "Any other ideas?" "Does anyone remember the scripture we just memorized together? When ye are in the service of your fellow beings," the rest of the family joined in, "ye are only in the service of your God." See Mosiah chapter 2, verse 17. "That's right," Mom said. "It's from King Benjamin's speech to his people. Preston, can you think of any other reasons why we serve?" Preston thought of the comic book he had read that morning, the one about the boy dressed in a cape, saving the world. Superheroes did good things for other people. "Serving is like being a superhero," he said. Dad smiled. "You're right. It is like being a superhero. You're saving the day when you serve." They arrived at Sister Lee's house. Preston liked the idea of being a superhero. He flew out of the car, grabbed a pair of gloves, and super sprinted toward the garden. First, Sister Lee showed everyone the new baby chicks. Then the family got to work. There were hundreds and hundreds of weeds. They were the biggest weeds Preston had ever seen. He imagined those weeds as evil forces attacking the innocent tomato plants. Using his super strength, it was easy to pull the weeds out of the ground. He could feel his muscles getting stronger as he shook the dirt loose from the roots and threw the weeds in a pile. Some of the weeds were too tough to pull by hand. Preston pulled out his superpower shovel, the one with the red blade. He jumped on the back with both feet. The blade sunk deep into the dirt, and weeds came out even faster. The pile of pulled weeds grew until it was almost as tall as Preston. Finally, Sister Lee said, "That's great! Come pick some berries and then we'll have a treat." Preston's superhero strength was almost gone. With the last of his energy, he helped pick gooseberries, raspberries, and currants. Then Sister Lee brought out three different ice cream flavors. Preston chose chocolate. They were tired, but Preston felt good inside. "Thank you so much for your service," Sister Lee said. "You did in 1 hour what would have taken me a whole week." Preston smiled and licked his ice cream cone. Having superpowers not only felt great, it tasted great too.
Sidebar. One day a family moved in next door. I wanted to make them feel welcome, so I helped my mom bake some sugar cookies. Then we took them to the family's house. They were happy to get the cookies. I think welcoming the new neighbor is something Jesus would do. I felt happy too. Raina Kay, age 10, Texas, USA.
End of the story, Superhero Service, by Tiffany Gee Lewis, read by Wes Nelson.
Special Witness. Why do we need to obey the commandments? By Elder L. Tom Perry, of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. The members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles are special witnesses of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father's goal is our eternal happiness. His commandments are the roadmap to return to Him. We should obey all of God's laws. We must not pick and choose which commandments we think are important. From Obedience to Law is Liberty, Ensign, May 2013, pages 86 through 88.
A Good Day After All by Stacy Kratz, based on a true story. There was nothing special in Kate's backpack, or was there? Whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Kate said, thumping her purple backpack down hard on the kitchen table. Everything rattled. Her big sister Emma picked up her glass of milk to keep it from spilling.
"What's wrong?"
she asked, closing her math textbook. Kate collapsed in a chair and buried her head in her arms.
"At school today, Maya got the Being Good Award, and I didn't. And I was working just as hard as she was."
Kate squeezed her eyes shut and clenched her fists, remembering that awful sinking feeling when Mrs. Jenkins had called Maya's name instead of hers.
"Maya gets to show her parents that award certificate, but I don't have anything to show Mom and Dad."
"I'm sorry,"
Emma began to say.
"And we went to the library today, and Emily got the ladybug book I wanted. And at recess, I found a cool heart-shaped rock, but Michael said it was his and took it home. I never get anything good."
"I bet that's not true,"
said Emma, patting Kate on the shoulder.
"Let's look in your backpack."
Kate heard Emma slide the backpack across the table and unzip it.
"There's nothing special in there,"
Kate mumbled with her head in her arms. Emma gasped,
"Oh, Kate, look at this."
Kate looked up. Emma was holding the worksheets Kate had done in school that day.
"You got 100% on your math paper."
Emma grinned and tapped her math book.
"Maybe I should be asking you for help on my homework."
Kate smiled just the tiniest bit. Emma pulled another paper out of Kate's backpack.
"And this tree you made in art class is gorgeous. I bet you worked really hard on it, right?"
Kate sat up, remembering how carefully she had cut and glued each piece of the tree.
"Right,"
she said quietly.
"And look at this,"
Emma said, pulling out a library book.
"You got a book about a mommy pig and all her babies. You love pigs."
"I do like pigs,"
Kate thought.
"I like them even more than ladybugs."
She smiled. Emma reached way down into Kate's bag.
"Wow,"
she said,
carefully lifting out two pine cones that had grown together.
I've never seen anything like this.
Kate bounced in her chair.
I found it under a tree after school. I want to put it on the science table in my classroom.
I bet your class will love it. Come on, let's wrap it up and put it back in your bag so you won't forget it.
Kate and Emma found some brown paper to wrap the pine cones in.
This will be a cool way to start the day tomorrow,
Emma said, holding the wrapped pine cones so Kate could tape the paper down. Kate grinned and hugged her big sister. I've had a pretty good day after all, she thought. It just depends on how I look at it.
Sidebar. One day I came home from school tired. The day had been really hard. I had tried to be a good example, but nobody seemed to notice. But I knew that Jesus knew how I felt, so I prayed about what had happened at school that day, and I knew everything was fine. John C., age 10, Utah, USA.
End of the article, A Good Day After All, by Stacy Kratz.
Friends Around the World.
Annyeong Chinggudul, which means hello friends in Korean. I'm Luca from South Korea.
From an interview by Amy Jane Levitt. Does your name have a special meaning? In Korea, a person's name often has an important meaning. 8-year-old Luca's name means light. His parents chose this name to remind him that he can have a bright future.
I love living in South Korea. It is a fun place to grow up. I'm the oldest in our family. My younger sister is named Erica. I like to read. I am bilingual, which means I can read, write, and speak in both Korean and English. I go to school from 8:30 a.m. until 2:30 p.m. Then I go to an after-school academy called the Hakwon for extra studies. I also take piano and art lessons. I love to see the temple. The Seoul Korea Temple was dedicated in 1985. It was the first temple built on mainland Asia. I love football, and I play on an indoor field all year long. I'm a citizen both of the United States and South Korea, so I take part in the Boy Scouts of America program at church. Chuseok is one of our biggest holidays. It is a celebration of the harvest, a Korean Thanksgiving. End of Friends Around the World. I'm Luca from South Korea.
Bulletin board. Fun facts about South Korea. Have you met Luca yet? On pages 14 through 15, he talks about his life in South Korea. Here are some fun facts about this Asian country. South Korea is surrounded by thousands of islands. The national flower of South Korea is called Magangwa, which means eternal flower. Parts of the country are covered in mountains and forests, while other places have very crowded cities. Deepy Deepy Deep. This is a two-person game. The players take turns being the leader. The faster the game goes, the more fun it is. 1. Use rock, paper, scissors to decide who will start as the leader. The other player is the follower. 2. The players face each other and say, Deepy Deepy Deep. On the word deep, each player makes one of the three poses on the right. The follower tries to make a different pose than the leader. 3. If the follower makes a different pose than the leader three times in a row, he or she becomes the leader. To play this with three people, the two followers face the leader. The first follower to make a different pose than the leader three times in a row becomes the new leader.
Gamja Joreim. Korean meals are served with side dishes called banchan. Here's one you can make with an adult's help. Needed: 3 medium potatoes, peeled and cubed. 2 tablespoons oil. 2 cloves garlic, minced. 2 tablespoons soy sauce. 2 tablespoons light corn syrup or honey. 1 tablespoon brown sugar. 1/4 cup water. 1 teaspoon sesame seeds, optional. 1. Heat a frying pan on medium heat. Add the oil and potatoes. Fry the potatoes for about 8 minutes. until they're slightly browned. 2. Mix the garlic, soy sauce, corn syrup, brown sugar, and water in a separate bowl. 3. Pour the sauce into the frying pan and cover it with a lid. Turn the heat down and stir occasionally. Cook until the liquid is gone and the potatoes are just soft. If needed, add a little more water and cook until the potatoes are done. 4. Stir in the sesame seeds and eat it as a side dish or snack. What if someone asked you why General Conference was important? What would you say? Family history. I am doing it. Do you eat any meals that are a family tradition? Who first came up with them and passed them down? Ask your parents to teach you about the foods from the cultures you come from. Why can these recipes be important to your family? Conference time. Tune in for General Conference, October 4th and 5th. End of bulletin board.
The New Adventures of Matt and Mandy. In this month's episode, Mandy is walking home with her friend Audrey, and Audrey says,
"Guess what? Mom says I can come to your family home evening."
"Cool. My mom said to tell you. Your parents are invited too."
"I think Mom might like to come, but my dad doesn't live with us. They're divorced."
"Oh, sorry."
"That's okay. You didn't know."
"Do you miss him?"
"Yeah, I wish he and Mom still loved each other. I mean, I know they both love me, but..."
Mandy, in a moment of inspiration, says,
"I know somebody else who loves you, even more than you can imagine, and he can help you feel better when you're sad."
"Who?"
"You'll find out on Monday night."
Next, Mandy arrives home and sees Mom and excitedly says,
"Good news! Audrey can come Monday night. And probably her mom. I've got a great lesson idea. Can you help me with it?"
To be continued. End of the New Adventures of Matt and Mandy.
Tornado by Jessica Larson. Based on a true story, Owen had an idea to help his family not be so scared. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." Owen woke up suddenly in the middle of the night and peeked out the window. It was hailing and the sky had turned green. "Is this what I think it is?" Mitchell asked, sitting up in bed. "A tornado," Owen whispered. His eyes scanned the sky for signs of swirling. Both boys jumped as Mom opened the door, a flashlight in her hand cutting through the darkness. "The power is out and the storm's coming," she said. "Everybody get down to the bathroom." Owen grabbed Mitchell's hand and followed Mom to the downstairs bathroom, the center of their home. They had talked about what to do during a tornado, but Owen's hands were shaking. What if it hit their house? When they were halfway down the stairs, a high-pitched alarm filled the air. Owen felt Mitchell's hand tighten around his. Those were tornado sirens, and they only went off when a tornado was nearby. Owen froze, but Mom gently pushed him toward the bathroom, which was lit by a small lantern. Owen's two sisters were already huddled on the floor, so he crouched in a corner to make room for Dad, who came in holding a radio. The space was small for six people, but Owen was glad they were all together. Dad turned the radio dial until he found a station reporting the storm.
"We have 4 tornadoes in the area. Everybody within the sound of a tornado siren is to stay inside until further notice."
Owen gasped. 4 tornadoes? He imagined them barreling down the street toward his house, and he reached out his hand to Dad for comfort. His little sister started crying in Mom's arms. Owen's panic grew when the announcer read off a list of streets near the tornadoes. Owen recognized all of the street names. One was even right by his school. The tornado could hit them at any moment. He had never felt this afraid before. Owen knew exactly what he needed to do to feel better. He bowed his head
and said a silent prayer. When he finished praying, he felt a little better. He was still nervous, but he felt peaceful too. Mom saw his bowed head and said, "Good idea, Owen. I think we could use a family prayer right now." Dad prayed aloud, and Owen's fear went away a little more. He turned to Mitchell, who still seemed scared. "Want to play I Spy?" he whispered. It was one of Mitchell's favorite games, and the lantern gave them just enough light to play. Mitchell nodded, and Owen started. "I spy something pink." "Mom's robe," Mitchell giggled, and the game began. The wind still howled, but Owen's little sister stopped crying. Owen could feel peace in the small bathroom surrounded by his family. It seemed like hours later, but the sirens finally stopped. Owen took a deep breath, knowing the tornadoes had moved on. Dad turned up the radio again, and the announcer said it was safe to leave cover. Dad opened the door and squeezed Owen's shoulder as they walked out into the hall to stretch. "I'm proud of you, buddy," Dad said. "You were really brave tonight." Owen hadn't felt very brave, but he'd felt more peaceful after his prayer. He hugged Dad back, took Mitchell's hand, and led him back to bed. The storm was over.
Once when my mom and little brother and I were driving home, it began to snow. Mom was worried because the car was slipping and sliding. I said, "We should say a prayer." After our prayer, our car was able to make it up the hill. My brother and I cheered. "I know Heavenly Father cares about us, and hears our prayers." Austin H., age 6, Alberta, Canada.
End of the article, Tornado, by Jessica Larson, based on a true story. Read by Van Farnworth.
Conference Answers, a true story written by you. By Abby H., age 7, Nebraska, USA. When my great-grandma Edwards died, my sister Mia and I were sad. Even though my parents told us we would see our great-grandma again someday and be a family forever, we were worried. My dad told us that we could pray to have our questions about Grandma Edwards answered at General Conference. I prayed to know if Grandma Edwards was happy. Mia prayed to know if Grandma Edwards was with her husband and daughter, who had already died. During the Sunday morning session of conference, we listened, and we heard the prophet answer our questions. President Monson said that when people die, it's as if they go into a room filled with all the family members they love who died before them. So Mia knew that Grandma Edwards was with her husband and daughter. Then President Monson read a part from the Book of Mormon that says, "The spirits of the righteous go to a state of happiness." See Alma chapter 40, verses 11 through 12. Grandma Edwards had always tried to choose the right, so I knew she was happy. Mia and I were so happy to know that the prophet speaks for God and that God answers our prayers. We aren't worried about Grandma Edwards anymore. We know that if we follow her example of choosing the right, someday we will see her again. See Thomas S. Monson, The Race of Life, Ensign, May 2012, page 93. Do you have a question you could pray about before General Conference next month? Don't forget to listen for your answer. End of the story, Conference Answers, a true story written by you. Read by Eden Reinwand.
Special Witness Cards. Use these cards to learn more about the members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles and the First Presidency. You could also copy the cards and create a matching game. Print more copies at friends.lds.org. Laminate your cards or use contact paper. Elder Boyd K. Packer, President of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, overcame polio as a child, studied to become a teacher, likes to carve and paint wooden birds. President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, second counselor in the First Presidency, fled with his family to West Germany as war refugees, is an airplane pilot, enjoys skiing with his children and grandchildren. President Henry B. Eyring, first counselor in the First Presidency,
played basketball in high school, learned physics from his father on their basement chalkboard, was president of Ricks College, now BYU-Idaho. President Thomas S. Monson, 16th president of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, was called at the age of 22 to serve as bishop of a ward with many widows, worked in newspaper publishing and printing, was a mission president in Canada. Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles was nicknamed the bishop in college because of his high standards, ran a car dealership, encourages members to be missionaries. Elder Dallin H. Oakes of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles cleaned a radio repair shop as a first job, became a lawyer and Utah Supreme Court judge, was president of BYU. Elder Russell M. Nelson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles was a heart surgeon, served as a doctor in the U.S. Army in Korea and Japan, has 10 children, 9 girls, and 1 boy. Elder L. Tom Perry of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, as a boy, encouraged friends to play fair at sports, helped rebuild churches in Japan after World War II, asked his children to help time his talks. Elder David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles was a quarterback on his high school football team. After serving a mission, baptized his father, a member of the church, was president of Ricks College, now BYU-Idaho. Elder Richard G. Scott of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles was raised by good parents who weren't active in the church, served a mission in Uruguay, became a nuclear submarine engineer. Elder Robert D. Hales of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles grew up in New York, pitched for his school's baseball team, was a jet fighter pilot in the United States Air Force. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles was a mission companion with Elder Cook in England, worked for the church education system, was president of BYU. Elder Neil L. Anderson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles grew up on a dairy farm in Idaho, served as a missionary and mission president in France, helped direct the launch of Mormon.org. Elder D. Todd Christofferson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles baked homemade bread for his family growing up, participated in the Hill Cumorah pageant as a teenager, served a mission in Argentina with Elder Scott as his mission president. Elder Quentin L. Cook of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles gained a testimony after praying with his older brother, was student body president in junior high with his future wife Mary as vice president, served as a church leader in the Philippines and Pacific Islands. To read more stories about prophets and apostles, visit lds.org/prophetsandapostles/whatareprophets. End of Special Witness Cards, read by Jane Wise.
We're All Different by Susan Perry. Some kids are short and others are tall. Some have lots of freckles and some not at all. Some ride in wheelchairs because they can't walk. Others sound different from me when they talk. Some kids wear clothes with a funny design and have faces a lot different from mine. Some kids are skinny and others more round. When I think about Jesus, here's what I found. He loves every child. He just doesn't mind what they look like or talk like. He's still just as kind. I want to be like him. He'd never make fun of a child who looks different or can't walk or run. When I see children who aren't just like me, I think about Jesus, and like him I'll be. I might feel a bit shy, but I know what to do. I'll be friends with them all, and I bet you will too. End of the poem, We're All Different by Susan Perry, read by Maya Reinwand.
Great-Grandpa's Big Surprise by Rennie Zillack Burkhart, based on a true story. How could Katie talk to Great-Grandpa if she couldn't speak Hungarian? That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. Grandma, is your dad really old? Katie asked. Katie's great-grandpa was coming all the way from Hungary to stay with them. This would be her first time meeting him. Compared to my age, he's not that old, but compared to your age, I guess he is, Grandma said. Why do you ask? Oh, I was just wondering, Katie said. I bet he has lots of good stories. He does, Grandma said with a smile. But he doesn't speak English. I'll have to translate for you. Katie hadn't thought about that. Well, can't he learn English? Learning a new language isn't easy. It can take a long time, Grandma said. I have time, Katie thought. Maybe I could learn Hungarian. Would you teach me, Grandma? Grandma smiled. I would be happy to. How do you say, Grandpa, I love you? Nagy papa szeretlek. Nagy papa szeretlek, Grandma pronounced slowly. Nagy papa szeretlek, Katie repeated until it sounded right. Katie had a Hungarian lesson every day for a month. She learned how to say hogivagi, which means how are you? She learned kozononom, which means thank you. Grandma was right. Learning a new language was hard work. She didn't know enough Hungarian to have a conversation, but at least she could tell Great-Grandpa she loved him. At the airport, Katie bounced on her feet. She stretched her neck, trying to see when Great-Grandpa would come through the gate. Next to her, Katie's grandma bit her lip and twisted her hands. She hadn't seen her father in 40 years. They had been separated during World War II. Katie had heard the story many times. Eventually, her grandma was brought to the United States, while Great-Grandpa had stayed in Hungary. At last, they would be reunited. Finally, a tall, silver-haired man walked toward them. When he saw them, his face broke into a wide smile. Lanyum, he said to Grandma. They were both crying as they hugged. I know that word, Katie remembered. Lanyum means my daughter. Soon, Great-Grandpa stood in front of Katie. He leaned down to hug her. He had blue eyes just like Grandma's. Nagy papa szeretlek, Katie said in her best Hungarian. Great-Grandpa's eyes filled with tears. I didn't expect my great-granddaughter to tell me she loves me in my own language. I love you, too. Katie stared at him in surprise. Great-Grandpa was speaking English. Grandma told me you couldn't speak English, she said. Your grandma didn't know, Great-Grandpa said. I always prayed that one day your grandma and I would be together again. So when I found out she was in the United States, I began to study English. I was preparing for when we would be reunited. Great-Grandpa had learned English because he loved his daughter, and Katie had learned Hungarian because she loved her great-grandpa. She took a deep breath. This was the hardest phrase she had learned. Oroluk hogi el tudal joni, she said. I'm glad that you could come. It seemed to make Great-Grandpa happy to hear his own language. Great-Grandpa smiled. Me too. I don't know how to say very much in Hungarian, Katie said a bit shyly. Would you teach me more? Maybe we could have language lessons together. I'd like that very much, Great-Grandpa said.
Sidebar. Look beyond our differences in age, culture, and circumstance to nurture and serve one another. Sister Bonnie L. Oscarson, Young Women General President.
Sisterhood, Oh, How We Need Each Other, Ensign, May 2014, page 121.
End of the article, Great-Grandpa's Big Surprise, by Rennie Zielak-Burkhart, read by Charlene Stewart.
Following Jesus. Be a peacemaker. What Jesus taught. Jesus said, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. This month's challenges. If someone says something unkind, say something kind back. If someone disagrees with you, listen to his or her ideas. Be the first to forgive. I challenge myself to following Jesus today.
A boy in my class has autism. He is a nice boy who tries really hard to learn. At break time, another girl said, Let's tease him. A thought in my mind said, No, don't tease him. I told the girl, No. Then she decided not to tease him either. I know the Spirit prompted me not to tease him because he is a child of God, too. Lauren B., age 6, Minnesota, USA.
One Sunday, my little sister drank my brother's juice, so my brother was mad at her. I decided to share my juice with my brother and sister. I knew it would make them happy. It did. I felt very, very good inside. I knew I was choosing the right. Andrew D., age 6, Utah, USA. End of the section, Following Jesus.
For Little Friends, Humming the Hymns, by Olivia Corey Randall, based on a true story. Essie liked to sing. Singing in primary made her happy. She knew that Jesus loved to hear her sing. One day, Mama and Baba were singing a hymn in sacrament meeting. Essie wanted to sing too, but she didn't know the words. Why are you sad? Mama asked Essie. I don't know the words, Essie said. I have an idea, Mama said. Next week, when we sing, you can hum along. Essie felt much better. She liked to hum. The next week, Essie hummed. While Baba and Mama sang the hymns, Essie felt happy. She knew that Jesus loved to hear her hum. End of the story, Humming the Hymns, by Olivia Corey Randall, read by Wes Nelson.
The Book with the Yellow Cover, by Randall Salazar Quiroga. Randall lived in Bolivia. He loved going to school, and he took good care of his school books. His favorite book had a yellow cover and interesting drawings. One day, Randall could not find his yellow book. His mom and dad helped him look, but they still could not find it. Randall was very sad. Let's pray, Randall's father said. We'll ask Heavenly Father to help us. After the prayer, Randall's father had an idea. Let's talk to your uncle, he said. Maybe his children use the same book and they will let you borrow it. This will be the answer to our prayer, Randall thought. Randall's family went to his uncle's store. They asked him about the yellow book. Uncle said his children had never used that book. Now Randall was confused. Wasn't Heavenly Father going to answer their prayer? Just then, some men came into Uncle's store selling books. They had the book with a yellow cover. Randall's father bought the book. Randall thanked Heavenly Father for answering his prayer. Sidebar: I Pray in Faith, by Janice Cap Perry. I kneel to pray every day. I speak to Heavenly Father. He hears and answers me when I pray in faith. I begin by saying, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank Him for blessings He sends. Then humbly I ask Him for things that I need. In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen. Children's Songbook, page 14. End of the story, The Book with the Yellow Cover, by Randall Salazar Quiroga. Read by Kate Strongen.
Show and Tell Temples.
I went to the Calgary Temple Open House.
It was a very cold day, but I was excited. I thought I would see Jesus inside, but even though I didn't, I know he was nearby. All temples are Heavenly Father and Jesus' special houses. I love to see the temples, and I want to go inside again someday. Carter P., age 4, Alberta, Canada.
This year for General Conference, my mom took us to the temple between sessions. I quickly went up to the temple and looked in the window by the door. I was surprised to see myself inside. I can see myself in the temple, I told my mom. The temple is a very beautiful place. I feel the Holy Ghost there. I like seeing myself inside the temple. Lillian P., age 7, Colorado, USA.
Our family builds temples out of blocks as a Sabbath day activity. Building the temples of the world has become a strength for our family and helps us stand in holy places. This is a model of the Draper Utah Temple in front of the real temple. Sean, Kara, and Ryan W., ages 13, 10, and 8, Utah, USA.
CJ and Ryan K., ages 8 and 11, Georgia, USA, built a model of the Washington, D.C. temple during General Conference.
As part of their stake primary activity, the girls of Salt Lake Grant Stake, Utah, USA, decided to focus on the spirit of the temple, even though they're too young to go inside. They built the Salt Lake Temple out of sugar cubes and displayed it on their stake center during the Brigham City Temple dedication.
The children of the Pocatello Highland 8th Ward, Idaho, USA, built this temple with CTR blocks. Each block represents a Choose the Right moment and has the child's name on it. It takes 188 blocks to make a temple. They built 4 CTR temples in 2012.
When I was sealed to my family, it was a big day because my family had been preparing for a long time. When I walked into the sealing room, I was dressed in white and carrying my baby brother. I immediately felt the spirit and realized how sacred this event was. I know that we can be together forever. Tyler C., age 12, California, USA.
I was 5 when I went to the temple to be sealed to my parents. How beautiful the temple is. Ashley M., age 8, California, USA.
Jordan H., age 7, Washington, USA, went with his sister, Cadence, age 6, to the Boise, Idaho Temple open house. Cadence felt the spirit, and Jordan thought the celestial room was the beautifulest thing he saw in the temple.
Other contributors to Show and Tell. Giselle M., age 9, California, USA. And Henry H., age 7, California, USA. End of Show and Tell Temples.
My Covenant Path. Words by Marvin K. Gardner. Music by Vanya Y. Watkins. A covenant is an agreement, a promise I make with the Lord. He lovingly offers to bless me if I will be true to His word. I promise to keep His commandments, and if in His light I abide, He promises infinite blessings, a fullness of joy by His side. To honor my baptismal covenant, I'll take Jesus' name upon me. Remember Him, keep His commandments, His faithful disciple I'll be. I'll gladly renew precious covenants, each Sabbath through sacrament prayer. And someday I'll enter the temple and make sacred covenants there. I will remember my covenants. They show me the path to my Father above. I will be true to my covenants and stay on the path, my covenant path, secure in my Savior's love. I'll stay on the path, my covenant path, secure in my Savior's love. End of the poem, My Covenant Path. Words by Marvin K. Gardner. Music by Vanya Y. Watkins. Read by Kate Strongen.
Bringing Primary Home. Learn more about this month's primary theme. Living the Gospel Blesses My Family. What are some of the blessings Heavenly Father has given you? Some blessings are easy to see, like the beautiful world Heavenly Father created. or a new brother or sister in your family. But sometimes you need to pay attention to notice Heavenly Father's blessings. In this story about Nephi, see if you can find the blessings Nephi and his family were given because they lived the gospel. You can also read the story in 2 Nephi chapter 5. The Lord warned Nephi to take his people into the wilderness so the Lamanites would not hurt them. Nephi was obedient. He gathered his family and all those who believed in the word of God. They traveled in the wilderness for many days. Finally, they set up camp and went to work. They planted seeds, and their crops grew well. They raised many animals. They built buildings and a temple where they could worship God. Nephi taught the people from the scriptures, and they kept the commandments. Nephi wrote that his people lived after the manner of happiness. See 2 Nephi chapter 5, verse 27. That means they lived in a way that helped them be happy. When we live the gospel, we receive blessings that can help us be happy. Scripture, the 13th article of faith. Ideas for family talk. What can your family do to live after the manner of happiness? End of the section, Bringing Primary Home, Living the Gospel Blesses My Family. Read by Wes Nelson.
Sheep Attack by Mackenzie Van Englenhoven. Based on a true story. The sheep was charging. What should Brian do? So when life gets dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. Hymn number 140. The car kicked up dust as it rolled along the rough country road. 12-year-old Brian could see the Westover farm out the open window. Sister Westover was a widow who had a hard time getting around. Brian and his dad were taking her into town for the afternoon so she could do some shopping. As Dad pulled into the driveway, Sister Westover came out onto the porch. "I guess I can't go," she said. "My son was supposed to unload some hay bales, but he never came. I'll have to do it so the sheep have something to eat." "What if I do it for you?" Brian asked. Sister Westover smiled. "That would be a big help." "That's a great idea, Brian," Dad said. "You can walk home when you finish." Sister Westover gave Brian a hug. "Thank you so much. Just pull the bales out of the truck so the sheep can get to them." Dad helped Sister Westover get into the car, and they drove off. Brian started off across the field. The truck was parked inside the fenced area where some sheep were grazing. The biggest of the sheep looked up when Brian climbed the fence, but none of the others moved. Brian opened the truck's tailgate and started pulling the heavy bales onto the ground. His arms started to ache after a while, but he didn't stop. He was almost done when, wham! Something rammed into his leg, so hard it almost knocked him over. Brian spun around and saw the biggest sheep standing behind him, tossing his head angrily. Before he had time to move, the sheep charged again. Brian grabbed the tailgate to keep from falling over and jumped aside. The sheep kicked at him, and Brian barely dodged out of the way. The sheep was big, and Brian knew if it knocked him over, he could be hurt. As the sheep charged again, Brian leaped up into the bed of the truck. The sheep rammed its head into the bumper, but it couldn't climb up after him. Brian breathed a sigh of relief as he sat down on a bale. The sheep kept pacing around the truck like it was waiting for him to come down so it could run at him again. Brian was getting nervous. Dad and Sister Westover wouldn't be back for hours. How long would he be stuck out here until the sheep went away? Then he remembered that his primary teacher had said that if you are ever in trouble, you can pray and ask Heavenly Father for help. Brian closed his eyes and folded his arms. "Heavenly Father," he prayed, "please bless me and make the sheep go away so I can get home safely." As soon as he had finished, Brian opened his eyes. The sheep stared at him, then suddenly trotted back to the herd. It was leaving. Brian hopped down from the truck and ran. He looked over his shoulder as he scrambled over the fence, but the big sheep didn't seem interested anymore. Brian went back to the farmhouse and sat down on the porch steps. He knew his prayer had been answered, and Heavenly Father had protected him. He closed his eyes and folded his arms again. "Thank you, Heavenly Father," he prayed, "for keeping me safe."
Sidebar. One day my family was driving through a really bad storm. My brother said a prayer for us that we would be safe. I said prayers in my mind, too. After I prayed, it was still a bad storm, but I felt peaceful and knew that everything would be okay. I know that Heavenly Father helped us drive safe and feel comforted. Chandler S., age 7, Iowa, USA.
End of the article, Sheep Attack, by Mackenzie Van Engelhoven. Read by Scott Tippetts.
Question Corner. Note, responses are intended for help and perspective, not as pronouncements of church doctrine. My little brother wants to go everywhere with me. How can I handle this? I pray and ask Heavenly Father to help me be patient with my little sister. I play with her most of the day, but I do reserve a little personal time when I write in my journal or do other things I like to do. These things help me be a better sister and friend. Daisha C., age 8, Tennessee, USA.
Remember, he is a child of God too. You could play with him and then ask him politely to do something else. Allison G., age 9, Utah, USA.
I'm the oldest of 5 boys in my family. Here's my advice. If they're trying to annoy you, ignore them and then they will stop. If they just want to be around you, play with them for a few minutes, and then you can go and do your own thing. I know that Heavenly Father is happy when we are nice to our younger brothers. Jack C., age 10, Colorado, USA.
We both have little brothers who do this. We each try to invite our brother to come along. Sometimes it turns out fun to have him along. Martin F. and Jacob K., both age 7, Montana, USA.
I would let him go with me to the places he can go. Then, I would tell him why he can't go some places with me. If I still have trouble, I would pray. Lauren W., age 8, Missouri, USA.
It may seem hard at times, but try to set a good example by spending time with him. When I spend even a little time with my brother, it makes him happy. It makes me happy, too. Taylor M., age 10, Idaho, USA.
I have 2 little brothers that like to follow me. When they follow me, I think to myself, I love my brothers, and I'm so grateful I have brothers. Then I play what they want to play so we can make good memories. Holly C., age 10, Washington, USA.
I'm starting a new school this year, and I'm worried because I don't know anybody yet. How can I make friends when I'm new? Do you have some advice about this? Send us your answer and photo by September 30th, 2014. Submit your answer at friend.lds.org or email us at friend@ldschurch.org. Put Question Corner in the subject line. Remember to include a parent's permission. And a Question Corner.
Friend to Friend, The Right Path, by Elder Claudio D. Zivic of the 70. Hear the words of that God who made you. Doctrine and Covenants, section 43, verse 23. Many years ago, my family and a friend and I decided to visit Arches National Park in Utah, USA. One of the most beautiful and famous arches in the park is Delicate Arch, so we decided to climb the mountain to reach the arch. We started the hike enthusiastically, but soon the others wanted to rest. I wanted to get there sooner, so I decided to go alone. Without paying attention to the path I should take, I began following a man who seemed to know where he was going. The path became more and more difficult to climb. I was sure my family could not have made it. Suddenly, I saw Delicate Arch, but to my surprise, I couldn't reach it because the path I had taken didn't lead to the arch. I was frustrated and decided to go back. I waited impatiently until I met my group again. I asked if they reached Delicate Arch. They told me they had followed the signs showing the right way and, with care and effort, had reached the destination. Unfortunately, I had taken the wrong way. What a lesson I learned that day. Don't lose sight of your pathway to eternal life with your Heavenly Father. Follow the gospel principles and commandments you learn here on earth, and you will be on the right path to live with Him forever. Note, adapted from Let's Not Take the Wrong Way, Ensign, May 2014, pages 39 to 41. End of the section, Friend to Friend, The Right Path by Elder Claudio D. Zivic, read by Terrell Williams.
P.S. We hope you enjoyed this month's magazine. Oops! We made a mistake on a temple card in the July 2014 issue. Here's the fixed card, ready to go. Kansas City, Missouri, dedicated on May 6, 2012, by President Thomas S. Monson. Through Your Eyes.
Heavenly Father blesses my life by giving me a pet cat to play with. I love all the animals in the whole wide world that Heavenly Father blesses us with. NASD, age 6, Illinois, USA.
The Last Laugh. In this month's Last Laugh, we see a pair of boys covered with roses and thorns standing outside a school playground looking at a hand-drawn map. One of the boys says to the other, "Yes, it looks like we can save 10 more seconds for recess by running around the cafeteria and crawling under the rose bushes." Visit friends.lds.org. Play games and watch videos. Read The Friend online. End of the section, P.S.
Dear parents and teachers, did you know there's a ready-to-go family home evening plan in every friend? Just look for Family Fun Time on page 6 of each issue. The page includes an activity, a simple recipe, and discussion ideas that you can adapt for your family's needs. This month's Family Fun Time is about preparing to enter the temple. There's also a recipe for yummy apple cake. Happy Family Night, The Friend. Note, you can order The Friend at store.lds.org. Family Home Evening Ideas. Family Fun Time. Talk with your family about preparing for the temple. Read Michelle's Birthday Wish, page 4, about one girl's temple recommend interview. Then do the temple puzzle activity on page 6 and make the recipe. Bringing Primary Home. You can learn about this month's primary sharing time theme on page 42. You'll find a short lesson, a scripture, and ideas for talking with your children. General Conference Prep. Get your family excited to learn from General Conference by reading Conference Answers, page 22. Then have fun memorizing the names and faces of the First Presidency and Quorum of the 12 Apostles with the flashcards on page 23. Heavenly Father's Love. Read President Uchtdorf's message, page 2, then turn to page 7 and talk about ways your family can feel God's love. For more resources on this topic, visit lds.org/go/FR Feel God's Love. Watch a video of people all over the world singing I Am a Child of God at friend.lds.org. Visit resources for teaching children at lessonhelps.lds.org for stories, activities, and media to use at home and in primary. Find videos and games for kids at friend.lds.org. Topics in this issue: Attitude, A Good Day After All, Baptism, Music, My Covenant Path, Book of Mormon. Bringing Primary Home, Living the Gospel Blesses My Family, Covenants, Music, My Covenant Path, Faith, The Book with a Yellow Cover, Family, A Good Day After All, Great Grandpa's Big Surprise, for little friends, Grandma's Favorite Flower. Bringing Primary Home, Living the Gospel Blesses My Family, and for older kids, Question Corner, General Conference, Conference Answers, and Bulletin Board, Heavenly Father, From the First Presidency, Heavenly Father Loves You by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf. Jesus Christ, poem We're All Different, and Following Jesus, Be a Peacemaker. Kindness, Following Jesus, Be a Peacemaker. And for Older Kids, Question Corner. Love, from the First Presidency, Heavenly Father Loves You by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf. Friends by Mail, Bright Idea Poster, poem We're All Different. And for Little Friends, Grandma's Favorite Flower. Music for Little Friends, Humming the Hymns. And music, My Covenant Path. Obedience, Special Witness, Elder L. Tom Perry. Bringing Primary Home, Living the Gospel Blesses My Family. And Friend to Friend, The Right Path, Elder Claudio D. Zivic. Prayer, Tornado. Conference Answers, The Book with a Yellow Cover, and for Older Kids, Sheep Attack, Service, Superhero Service, Temples, Michelle's Birthday Wish, Family Fun Time, Show and Tell, and Music, My Covenant Path, Tolerance, Poem, We're All Different. End of the section, Dear Parents and Teachers, read by David Shaw.